it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Do Warriors fans feel that way about him? As Pods feels about himself, being the heir apparent.
Can I ask you about a team that got bowed out last night? The Yankees.
Duh.
Anthony Volpe was a local kid that they drafted in the first round to play shortstop.
Yeah.
Now, baseball's different. I could play shortstop and you could play center field. I could bat eighth and you could still bat cleanup or third or second.
I'm a DH guy.
Right? If Anthony Volpe, after year one or year two, was like, I'm going to take the captain spot from Aaron Judge one day. That's what I want to do. Yankee fans would go nuts. They're like, what? You? Huh?
Oh, Joe.
What?
They'd see those and hear those quotes, and as soon as he strikes out at the plate in a regular season game against the Pittsburgh Pirates, they'd boo the hell out of him.
I believe he won a gold glove his rookie year. I could be wrong, but I believe he did. But he was so up and down this year. So up and down.
He was awful in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Awful.
So up and down. Kind of like Pods. And again, had he said those things, like, I'm going to take the keys from Aaron Judge when he's done, people would be like, what are you talking about? Like, establish yourself first, right? And that's kind of where I'm at with Pods. Now, am I mad at a young athlete for having confidence in himself? Absolutely not. But I think that you have to have a little bit of self-awareness and perspective to know how it's going to land. And I just think that basketball, more so than even baseball, understanding your role and the continuity and chemistry and the fabric and the dynamic of the egos at play on a basketball team are very delicate. And at times, I feel like Brandon Podziemski is delusional.
You like this quote from the 707, and what we're talking about right now is the latest piece from Nick Friedell, who covers the Warriors for The Athletic, and on 101 with Brandon Podziemski. There's some quotes here that were just eye-opening, but, you know, as I said, there's a fine line between confidence and cockiness, and I think Pods, you know, toasts that line very well. This is the one that stuck out for most people and for me. Quote, when they leave this thing, they got to leave it with somebody. How can I have their trust? And they go to Joe Lacob or Mike Dunleavy and be like, hey, we want to leave it with him. He's going to continue what we're leaving. So I think about that all the time. And I set myself up in that position to have that. And there's a lot of other things that just skill that you need to be in that sort of position. And he's talking about taking over, obviously, for Steph and Draymond and wanting those guys to hand him the baton to the next generation. From the 707 on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line, Joe, we've just spent the last couple seasons tearing Kuminga apart for wanting to be that same guy and just telling him to play his role. But we're okay with Pod saying this?
I'm not saying I'm okay with it. I'm just saying if it were Kuminga or Jordan Poole, we would have full lines lit right now.
Which is interesting because I feel like at least on social media, which again, take that with a grain of salt because it's social media. I do feel like people get on Pods a lot for some of these comments. They do. They roll their eyes. They say, really? Like, you haven't done much? Like, I guess my other question is, has Brandon Podziemski done enough, and as you're alluding to, I don't think you think he has, done enough in his professional career to warrant some of these comments that he's made?
Joe, I don't even know what his role is on this team.
What do you think he thinks his role is on this team?
That's a great question. I don't know.
Well,
I really don't know. I think that in his mind, like most guys, I just assume most guys, unless they have accepted their fate as an NBA player, are like, I should be a point guard with the ball in my, or, you know, a starter, excuse me, with the ball in my hands, you know, the majority of the game.
What if I told you he wanted to be a third option on this team? And he says that in the article.
Quote, third option offensively as a scorer?
Quote, this is the I'm just going to read the quote. Brandon Podziemski on a sit down with Nick Friedell, The Athletic. Quote, I want to be a third option for this team. I want to be a guy where Steph and Jimmy are out.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And they could rely on me to help win games. That was the quote.
Wow. So like last night, you know, and I know most people didn't watch the game. He's in there with the second unit. There is no Jimmy. There is no Steph.
Nope.
You got Jonathan Kuminga inbounding the ball. Who do you think he's trying to throw it to?
Pods.
Yeah, where's Pods?
Where is he?
Running to the corner on the other side of half court.
I thought you were going to talk about the one that turned into a Kuminga turnover where both Quentin Post and Brandon Pajemski are there for the inbounds pass. Both of them do a screen at the exact same time. And Kuminga's like, someone's got to be open. So he throws it. It's just right out of bounds.
So look, everybody wants to be someone who's a unicorn, right? And it's very different. Everyone wants to be Joe Rogan. Everybody wants to be, what's the guy's name? I Show Speed or whatever.
Speed, yeah.
Speed.
Tom Brady thrown into him.
Right. Yeah. Everybody wants to be Taylor Swift or they want to be Patrick Mahomes.
I just want to be Joe Spadoni.
Those are unicorns. What makes them so unique is they are so infinitely talented in one area that any of their flaws that are there are masked by their greatness in another area. And so just because you can handle the ball and shoot a little doesn't mean you're the greatest shooter of all time in Steph Curry and you can, you know, fill his void. And I don't know if that's necessarily what he was going at, but like right now, what are the things he hangs his hat on as a player in the NBA?
Brandon Pajemski?
Hustle?
Yeah, no, he will dive for the ball. He okay. Hustle guy.
Okay.
Yeah, he tries really hard.
I think his hustling on defense actually makes his defensive integrity for the rest of the other four defenders on the floor compromised at every turn. He gets way too up in the ball handler who is not a threat from 35 feet out and then gets picked and smothered on the high pick and roll and then forces the other four defenders to play 4-on-5 defense time and time again. His defense is not good. Just because you get a couple charges does not make you a great defender. He's not a long defender, so he can only guard certain guys. He's not a laterally quick defender. Now, he overcomes some of these with hustle, loose ball plays. There's only so many of those, though, yeah, per quarter. He is a willing rebounder, a really good one, actually. He's a really willing rebounder, and he will get his nose in there and will box out and jump up. But that's not necessarily going to define who you are as a primary defender, though it's needed on this team with not a lot of size. Offensively, he's a pretty good dribbler. I think he gets himself into trouble over dribbling. He's an okay shooter, not a great shooter. We find out he's very streaky. But to like try to replace Klay Thompson or Steph Curry, those are the greatest shooters we have ever seen. And what makes them so great is that five defenders have been game planning to not let them shoot for however long leading up to the game, and yet they still get theirs. As a ball distributor, I would say he's a plus ball distributor, but at times, because of the over dribbling and the leaving of the feet after picking up his dribble, he gets himself into trouble. Where I'm going at with this is he's a very incomplete player. He's got a long way to go. He's definitely not a starter on this team locked in. I don't even know if he's a second unit stalwart right now. Because if Seth Curry comes back, I don't know, maybe they put him there. When Melton comes back, I don't know, maybe they put him there. Like right now, I don't know. So to have this self-belief, I love it. It's great. It's all that. On the floor, what are you? And right now, I think he's got a lot more question marks than he has answers.
888-957-9570 is the number. Warriors fans, do you see Brandon Pajemski as the heir apparent type of player to take over for Jimmy, Steph, Draymond when they hang it up? He seems to feel that way. 888-957-9570.
Do you think he's a combo guard? Do you think he's a point guard? Do you think he's a two?
I think he should be a point guard.
Yeah.
Right? He should. Like, he handles the, I think he has a good handle. I think he can be a good passer at times.
But here's the problem with him as a point guard. And it's not problem. Here's the thing that he does too often. He dribbles so much on the perimeter, they don't get into their offensive set until 9, 10, 11 seconds.
You know what he did and he does, which it really does bother me, and I don't want this to turn into the just dumping and dumping on Brandon
Pajemski. No, but when you say you want to be the next to get the keys, like,
he opened the door
show it to me.
He opened the door for us to kind of break apart his game right now.
We're critiquing him.
Absolutely.
We're analyzing him.
The amount of times, Joe, and I know this drove you nuts last year, he would drive as the primary point guard into the middle of the lane to go like he's going to go for a layup and then just stop.
Pick up his dribble. Pivot to nowhere.
And just have no play anywhere. And either throw it away, throw it right into a defender, or just not know what he's doing. That drove me nuts and it drove you nuts. And if I'm a Warriors fan, like, that's the element of the game that needs to be changing. It's not the hustle plays. It's not that you don't give a damn. You clearly do. It's those little subtle nuances that could be the difference between a run and stopping a run. Those little things. Now, when things are going well, it's that. And it's also, quite frankly, it's the complaining. After things don't go your way and you don't think you fouled or you think there should have been a foul, it's waving your finger around. Now, this is a problem with everyone in the National Basketball Association, but it's really a Pods thing. And Steve Kerr has talked about this. That's what he wants to see more from Pods, is that, like, less complaining. And I think that's where a lot of Warriors fans are at, too. Just stop. Stop it.
Let me throw something at you that might sound counterintuitive. I just spent 10 minutes critiquing him. Let me give him some flowers. Here's where I do think he fits actually really well. And this is where I do see the vision of Steve Kerr. Last night, we talked about the starting five. The starting five was, and I'm going to write it down so that I can not confuse anyone, Steph Curry, Moses Moody, Jimmy Butler, Draymond Green, and Al Horford. I told you I didn't like that unit. Defensively, I didn't like them. And then offensively, it just felt like, to me, you kept getting stuck in the, we're sagging off everyone, not named Curry. Moody, you take as many shots as you want from the outside. Draymond, you take as many shots as you want from the outside. Jimmy, you take as many shots as you want from the outside. It felt very redundant. And you'd get either early or late shot clock grenades all across the court. I don't think their best offense is that way to start a game. I would use Pods in the starting lineup if I wanted the best version of ball movement, hustle, and frenetic pacing to start a game. I would actually have Draymond Green come off the bench.
Mm, well, that's the conversation.
And start Brandon Pajemski.
Yeah.
If I was looking to just jolt the offense early on, he gets a lot of big rebounds and can push tempo, which can get Curry wide open shots and can get Jimmy going to the rim in transition in favorable matchups.
The problem is there. You're sacrificing, obviously, the defense for the offense.
And now you have
two. With Horford, sure, but you also have two undersized guards out there in Pajemski and Steph Curry who aren't great defenders, as we've both discussed.
I know.
So that, no, I'm just, again, I'm we're talking
I hear
about
you.
It.
I would experiment if I was Steve Kerr over the next couple of preseason games. Steph, Pods, Jimmy. I think there's an argument for Buddy Hield.
The Boxer and Gerson work injury attorney's text line is fired up right now as you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the Free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios. And don't worry, Niner fans, if you're tuning in right now, and yes, it is basketball season approaching. We are locked in on some Golden State Warriors. There's very interesting comments made from Brandon Pajemski in the recent article from Nick Friedell of The Athletic, doing a one-on-one with Pods, and we're talking about it. But we do have Drew Bledsoe coming up at 8:30 to talk about Mac Jones and Brock Purdy and the quarterback controversy.
So, like, what I would experiment with, and again, I know this is not going to sound favorable, their second unit's terrible right now. I want Draymond coming in on that first substitution, 8-minute mark, and playing alongside Curry for X amount of minutes, and then also leading that second unit. They need veteran leadership on that second unit. I would go Steph, Pods, Jimmy, and then that four, if you will, that three would be Buddy, Kuminga, or Moody. One of those guys, I don't know. Maybe you rotate it. Horford at the five. Dre would be my leader on that second unit. I need to get Draymond Green facilitating as my backup de facto point guard on that unit. With Jimmy Butler, it gives you a second ball handler alongside Pods, or third ball handler alongside Pods and Steph Curry. I am giving Pods the benefit of the doubt. I think he plays his best ball alongside Steph Curry. And I actually think Steph Curry plays really well alongside Pods. I don't like Pods minus Steph Curry.
We are getting a lot of traction on
this
conversation.
Do I sound like I'm contradicting myself?
No, you don't. And I think a lot of Warriors fans are all over the place when it comes to these comments. A lot of them saying, hey, he's just believing in himself, and this is what he wants to be. From the 415, he's not saying he's the third option. He's saying he wants to be the third option.
But if Kuminga said that, how would it land?
I mean, there's some...
Why are we treating these two differently?
I got one here from the 510. If Jordan Poole had made that statement, it would actually be more acceptable because he had shown he had something. You could see it. Pods, in my opinion, has proven nothing. Has Pods proven enough?
Well, I know we've forgotten. I want you to pull up Jordan Poole's game logs. I think by his third year, he was averaging 18 a game. Look it up.
I will look it up right now. Last year, he averaged 20 points a game. No. Obviously. I know. He's right here.
Year one, he was in the G League.
With the Warriors, minutes.
Year two, he came on late. He was up and down. Year three, 2021.
Yep. 2022, 2023, he averaged 20 points for the Warriors. And then the year before that was 18.5. So.
I mean, look.
And that was on 44%.
Jordan Poole couldn't defend a lick.
No.
All right? He was a silky offensive player in our system.
Oh, yeah. Pool party. Splash. Yes, he's fun.
Look, I don't want to go back in time. There's an argument. They should have never started Clay, and they should have just kept starting Jordan Poole, and things might have played out differently for everyone had Clay been willing to embrace that role early on. But it's neither here nor there.
888-957-9570. Do you view Brandon Pajemski as the heir apparent, as Pods seems to feel like he could be for this team after Steph, Jimmy, and Draymond wrap it up?
The problem is that I think that Steph and Jimmy... and Draymond are playing at such a high level, but they are older. And then you throw in Horford. I personally believe you need to split those guys up throughout the regular season. The playoffs is different. It's a must-win game. I'm throwing all those things out the window. We're talking about putting together the best team on a nightly basis so that each unit is kind of gelling. And right now, I think you need to inject some youth into that first unit and have one of your veterans come off the bench.
415 seems to disagree how I'm taking it, and he's reading this differently. He's not saying he's the heir apparent. He's asking, quote, what do I have to do to earn that trust? Every player should be thinking like that of how to make the team better. Yeah, I don't view it that way. I think he feels like he is that next guy to take over for them because he's made comments similar to this in the past. He believes that, and that's okay to feel that way. I'm not here sitting saying that's a bad look for him. I'm just trying to gauge how the fan base feels about that. Clearly, the 415 on the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorney's text line likes what he's hearing. I'm seeing a lot from the 510, from the 707. They don't like hearing this. They think he's just a role player. Just do your job. Don't say a lot. But you know what? These guys are going to talk. That's this generation.
So let me ask Warrior fans.
There's a one-on-one sit-down.
Let me ask Warrior fans, and let me ask you. How do you view Brandon Pajemski heading into this season?
I think...
Where does he slot in?
He is...
This year. Forget future.
Off the bench role guy. Gonna get allocated 20-plus minutes a night, I feel like. He's gonna be a backup point guard. I bet
it's closer to 30. And I'm not trying to like...
No, for sure.
...parse your words here. If 21's on one side and 28's on the other, wouldn't you say probably leans closer to 28 minutes a game?
Probably. Yeah. I said 20-plus because
I would agree.
At minimum, that's what he's getting. At minimum.
Yeah, I would split the baby and go
exactly,
25.
25, at minimum there. Sure, there we go. But he definitely has a role on this team that Steve Kerr wants. Now, how Pods feels about it, how the organization feels about him. See, that's what I keep getting at, Joe. We had the conversation yesterday about made men and who feels like they're a made guy on a given team. Like George Kittle, Fred Warner are made guys. Hell, we even said Brock Purdy might not be a made guy. He took a team to the Super Bowl as a quarterback. Different sport, mind you. But again, like Steph Curry on the Warriors is a made guy. Draymond Green's a made guy. You know what? This might sound insane. I think right now, Jimmy Butler might be a made guy on this team. When it just comes to minutes, having a role, having a contract going forward, he might be a made guy. Whether you feel he is as a fan or not is different.
They ran a play last night. Jimmy's the inbounder. Okay? They're on a side inbound. So I call it a slob, right? Side
Out of bounds. Yeah,
and so you have a pass to Al Horford who goes out on the elbow extended. He catches it. Jimmy pops out from the out of bounds area, and Steph sets a back screen. the two defenders switch, and they're so worried about Steph Curry. Jimmy just rolls to the hoop. Horford throws a lob. The amount of easy buckets they're going to get just playing veteran OG ball is unreal.
Well, even in the preseason, Jimmy's just getting to the line. That's just what he does. That's such a nice, and again,
he's a baller.
We don't talk about it enough because
he's so good.
The conversation for so long prior to Jimmy was what? You couldn't get to the free throw line, couldn't get the opposing team in foul trouble, and immediately that's the element of Jimmy Butler's game that he brings to the squad. 6 of 8 from the line yesterday, and he's going to get, he'll have that every single game, which is a great part about it. And you asked me before that about Pods and what should his role be on this team. I think it's a backup point guard. That's what he should be. I don't think I want him starting. I don't know.
I understand having a long-term view, just as anyone in life, right? Having a long-term view. But sports right now, now more than ever, as Belichick's getting ran out of North Carolina after 6 games.
We'll get into that.
Okay? Dude, everything's year to year. And unless you're Mahomes, Steph Curry, you almost can't take a long-term approach. And I would just caution everyone. I know you want to, and it's, you want to say the right things and endear yourself to fan bases and things like that. Just year to year, how can you win this year? I don't know if you heard Mike Dunleavy. He was basically saying, like, everyone's, like, worried about our age. We don't care about the next 5 years. All we care about is this year. And I was like, you know what? I agree. All I care about is this year.
Mike Dunleavy is joining Steiny and Goo later today, by the way, Joe. And I know you're going to be excited about that, courtesy of River Islands Warriors general manager Mike Dunleavy on with Steiny and Goo. We got Drew Bledsoe coming up at 8:30 and Warriors assistant coach Terry Stotts joining us at 9 o'clock. And we'll ask him about what he sees with some of these young players and the roles for them heading into next year.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.